Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to today's call called How to Live From Your Heart. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure having you on the call today. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Louise Langley. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work today, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Louise a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through our site by you, our listeners. Now, I've known Louise for a few years now, and if you were to ask me who on planet Earth would be the perfect person to speak on living from your heart, I'd have to say it would have to be Louise. Louise is without doubt a person who is totally immersed in her own heart and totally immersed in the process of actually sharing with others how to live from their heart as well. She's an internationally renowned author, speaker and life adventurer, and she has released two books, one called The Sacred Quest, her first book, and her follow-up book, The Aquila Chronicles, was released late last year as well. And also, Louise has a special little mini-book that's just about to be released called Perfect Love, and I'll let Louise actually share a little bit more about that later on in the call. So with that, it actually gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest and my dear friend, Louise Langley. How are you doing there, Louise?
Hi, Damien. And I would like to add as well, if there were one person on the planet that I was going to pick that was a perfect mirror of me living in my heart, it's you.
thank you, Louise. Cool, but it's a very exciting subject matter. I'm really looking forward to going deep into it today.
Me too.
Awesome. So I thought I might just actually kick you off at the top, Louise, and just really explore our subject matter for today by asking you, what does it actually mean to live from your heart?
Wow. How I would like to answer that, without thinking about it, of course, because this is what I'm about to say, is that, and if you take asking a question as a perfect example, so someone would ask you a question, and typically the first thing we would do is think about what answer we're going to give. And yet, there's an answer inside of you in that moment that's yearning to get out, and so many of us go through this process of going, no, I'm not going to let the answer that's inside of me come out. I'm going to think about what I need to say and what the other person needs to hear. And yet, actually, if you let the answer inside of you just come out, you'll find that that other person that was listening was far more affected, far more delighted, far more confronted, challenged, excited by the thing that's inside of you wanting to come out than the thing that you thought you were going to tell them. And that message that was inside of you trying to come out, albeit it may be challenging, confronting, exciting, whatever it is, you can guarantee one thing, that will affect that person immeasurably from that moment onwards. And to live from the heart, for me, it's about adopting that philosophy in every moment of every day in which we have the magical joy of being here on planet Earth, really. And I use the word magical joy because that's exactly what it is. And, you know, so many people are conditioned since a tiny age to believe certain things are great and cool to experience and other things are not. Well, you know what? What if it's all amazing to experience? And what if by experiencing things that are challenges give you the opportunity to experience things that are extraordinary? And if you go back to the first thing that I said when you asked me that question, if you think about what you want to experience, you're already into limiting what that's going to be. If you cannot conceive of what you're going to experience, but you can only imagine that it's going to be amazing, then look at the opportunity that you have to experience something that's going to be far greater than anything you could try and imagine. And, you know, if we go into science, for example, I know all of us have heard that, you know, your thoughts create your reality, and many scientists have proven that. But in addition, there's a group, I know we've talked about it, Damien, that's called the HeartMath Group, based out in California, who have proven that over 93% of the stimuli that the brain responds to is directly from the heart. Therefore, those thoughts that are creating your reality are being created, are actually coming from your heart. And actually, the measurable endorphin that's released by the heart is called your intuition. And if you listen, and I'm sure everybody listening into this call would relate to this, if you listen to your intuition, if you get that gut feeling in any situation, in any moment, you absolutely know that no matter what unfolds, your gut feeling was telling you something that was authentic and true to you. And what unfolds after that is always something that feels appropriate. And you think to yourself, oh, if I hadn't followed my instinct, you know, this wouldn't have happened, or maybe this could have happened. Well, effectively, if your heart is creating your reality and it's sending a message, it's telling you through all these tiny, subtle nuances of feeling, of sending you a message through feeling, through this intuition, and it's creating your reality. Well, if you are living your life based in your head, or listening your life based on what you think you're going to create within your head, you are already limiting and binding what it is. Your head wants to create a beginning and an end. It wants to make everything finite. If you think of your heart, whenever we ever experience a moment of being in our heart and feeling in our heart, all possibilities are boundless. They're limitless. And it's the same premise that you can take into, well, what happens if you're creating your reality? If you're in your head, you need to control and structure it. You need to have some premise by which it starts and it finishes. If you're in your heart, then you can just feel this incredible emotion, this incredible expansion. And you have no idea where it's going, but you can feel the magic of something that's enormous. And you don't even need to know what it is, because you're connecting with the feeling of what it is. And what it is can just show up then in a way that's incredible, that you couldn't imagine. So that, for me, that, for me, represents what living in the heart is.
Well, there's so many points that I wanted to pick up on there, Louise. But just the thing you said about control, the mind always looking to control things, and I guess the heart is very much the allower of things to take or to unfold, and just in allowing things to unfold, quite often the most magical, I know. Just speaking for my own self personally, that when I just allow the mind to step aside and allow my heart to come through, that the most extraordinary, often unimagined things can unfold. But when my mind's in control and trying to dictate how my life's going to unfold, often that stream of magic gets curtailed. So that just really resonated with me.
Absolutely. And it's that great stillness. I know that, you know, like you, in my own journey, it's like the deeper and deeper I move into my heart, the more still I become inside of me, the more everything just shows up. It just comes to you like a magnet. Well, you, and I'm sure it's okay to share with all the listeners that we had an extraordinary set of synchronicities that meant that you ended up staying with me for a couple of weeks recently, didn't we? And you came back to the UK, and in that time, all of these things just happened. and we were sat so still, just like really rooted in this lovely still space in our hearts, and all these amazing things started happening around us, didn't they?
I think, like, just and life unfolds magically when you're allowed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and absolutely. It's just about allowing. And, you know, and I think the other thing that I would love to add at this point is that, you know, for anyone listening, is that effectively, you know, I can speak from my experience and you can speak from your experience, but the point is everyone's own experience is the truth. It's their truth. And no one else can feel for you. The only person that can feel for you and know what it is that you're feeling and you're experiencing is you. So the only person that can ever know what it is to come into the stillness of your heart is you. So we can talk about it, and we can say, yeah, be still, allow, surrender, but it's not actually about the talking about it, it's about the being it. And in my own experience, every time I've thought that I've reached a level where I've really surrendered to my heart and been very, very still, another level comes along. And then I've got something to compare it to, and I think, wow, I thought I was still before, and now... And then the more still I become and the more open I become to my heart, and, you know, we all have... I really think this is the most important part, is that we all have inside of us a little part of us that's frightened to be exposed, that's frightened of being rejected, that's frightened of being seen, all of us.
Mm.
And the more we open to our heart, the more that little part can know that it's actually okay to feel frightened, and it's okay to come to the fore, and it's okay to be seen, and it's okay to potentially be rejected, because it starts to understand that there's no possibility for it to be rejected, because the only person that could reject it is itself.
Mm.
So when you can go deeper and deeper into the heart, effectively what you're doing is you're lessening and lessening any idea of fear. Fear about stepping out, living a life that's true to your dreams, allowing that life to unfold. And the less that you fear, the more it can unfold. And the stiller you become, and the cycle just grows and grows. Well, certainly in my experience, anyway.
Mm, absolutely. Now, Louise, I just wanted to ask you, have you always been someone who's lived from their heart, or have you actually been on a journey back to your heart?
I certainly have always been aware of my feelings, but... I did not live a heart-led life until 4 years ago. It was the summer of 2006 when I had a huge experience in Dublin, which meant I had to make a choice in a moment. And in that moment, the choice was I either listened to the voice in my head saying, stay still, you're married, you have 3 children... you need to stay in that marriage, society and conditioning tells you, you know, you've got a great lifestyle, you're this, you're that, or you're the other. Or I listened to the voice of my heart, which said, nothing matters but that which I'm screaming at you right now. Take yourself outside and follow this feeling that's inside of you. And I listened to my heart in that moment. I actually, for the first time in my life, listened to my heart and this voice inside that was screaming at me to do so, instead of listening to the voice in my head that was saying, you must do what everybody else wants you to do.
Mm.
And you know, I'd been in a career prior to that where actually being in touch with your intuition was really important.
Mm.
I was in the banking world, and you know, when you're down on trading floors and stuff like that, you have to be intuitive led. However, I know for sure that the most challenging decision to make is to follow your heart when you believe or you perceive that you're letting everyone else down by doing that. Because society tells you you're letting everyone else down if you put yourself first. Well, what if that wasn't the case? And effectively, that's what happened for me. I finally made a decision to listen in my heart, and it wasn't even a conscious decision, it just happened. And from that moment on, because of what happened immediately and then what started to unfold for me after that, which was so huge and things that I just could not explain, but I just continued from that moment to follow my heart, because I knew in those moments I'd touched something so exquisite and so extraordinary, which was a deep truth inside of me. And it was a deep truth that actually I realized in that moment that all of my life I had known, I'd just never thought that I was, that I had the right, actually, to explore. So for example, ever since I was tiny, I absolutely absolutely used to believe that perfect love existed. And then I had it knocked out of me, no, this is something that exists in a fairy tale. And I always knew, and no matter all the relationships I went through with everybody, not just male, female, but you know, friends and everybody else, somehow inside me I was thinking, you know what, there is something, and I've never yet found it, but I absolutely know it exists. And it was when I was in Dublin that I touched that for the first time. Mm. And because I touched that, it was that, in that moment, through following my heart and touching that love and having the reward of touching something so exquisite, that I knew in that moment that that was my purpose for being here on planet Earth, was to feel and experience that feeling in every moment.
Mm.
And from that moment on, my heart was wide open and I set foot on a journey to really, really discover and embrace and draw into my life the ability to feel that in every moment.
Mm.
And it was a huge turning point. And I really sense that for most people, and many, many people that I've spoken to anyway around the world, have had a huge turning point. Well, they may have had a number presented to them until finally something clicked and they followed that. And, you know, there's something that clicks could be something tiny. It doesn't necessarily have to be huge as in a huge event, but it's so catalytic within themselves as a person.
Mm.
And it's that moment of surrender, of actually believing on some level that we're worth what our heart is telling us.
Mm. Absolutely. Now, Louise, we just touched on it briefly in the pre-call chat, about how you're witnessing more and more people coming into their heart just through the work that you do and the circles that you move in. Is this actually, do you think it's actually happening in the wider sphere as well? Like, are we all being called back into our hearts?
Oh, for sure. It's really interesting, actually, because if you look at energy and... if you took our human body and you stuck it under a microscope, you could see that we're moving energy particles and we move at a certain speed, which is more commonly known as a frequency or a calibration. And the interesting thing is there's a guy called Dr. David Hawkins, and I know we've talked about him. He's written an amazing book called Power versus Force. And in it, through his own adversity and experience that he had, he came to understand that we can actually exist at different levels of energy frequency or calibration.
Mm.
So in other words, we can start to move at a much faster speed. And what happens when we start to do that is that what we know inside of us can be created into our reality at a much faster rate.
Mm.
And it's really interesting because he sets out a kind of a scale, and I know you're familiar with it, and halfway up that scale, he talks about coming into a place. He says this is a major, major turning point for people, and it's when they come to a place of recognizing intuition.
Mm.
And by the time they get to that place, they start to understand truly and feel that, okay, maybe things are not happening to them. They're creating this reality. And actually, they then start to root themselves more firmly in their heart, and they start to listen to the voice of their intuition. And that then takes them to another quantum leap in growing their energy frequency. Now, why is this important? Because just one person who reaches that point, which is about halfway up his energy scale, who reaches that point, who decides to live an intuitive-led life, listening to the voice of the heart, surrendering to it and following it implicitly, being in a state of love for everyone and everything around them and trusting that that person or that situation or event that's just shown up is there to give them an experience to root them further and further into the magic of life. Any one person that reaches a state of feeling like that and listening to their heart and listening to their intuition on a constant basis literally counters the consciousness of 700,000 people on this planet.
Wow.
Now, more and more people, as we know, as we're meeting, are coming to that place. You know, and that's only halfway up the scale. So more and more people are coming to that place. So if more and more people are coming to that place, it absolutely is the case that more and more people are coming out of the lower end of the scale, which is all about, on his scale he has a 0 to 200, where he says people that reside in that space, which typically has been like 99% of the planet. Those people residing in that space, their lenses, every aspect of their life, they're experiencing through fear, through guilt, through shame, through grief, through apathy. They believe that life is happening to them. They believe they're a victim of what's happening. And the moment they step through that threshold, which on his scale is 200, and they just come straight over the top of that, just to 201 even, literally what that means is that they start to understand that they are creating life. Now, at that point, when they start to understand that control is within them and not outside of them, they are then opening to understanding that maybe there are some tool sets here that I can try and find to help me to understand how it is I'm creating. And from that moment comes the journey to find the heart, to find the heart and to find the voice of their heart. And when they find the voice of their heart, the transformation is incredible. I never, never cease to be so humbled by, you know, whenever I'm running workshops or speaking or whatever, you know, watching people as they totally surrender to their heart, You know, in every workshop that I ever run, I mean, I'm not, I say I run because obviously I'm facilitating it, but together we're a team and we work through everything together. And it's extraordinary because we all go deeper and deeper into our hearts, and you watch such an expansion and people physically change in front of you. It's extraordinary. Their whole energy, their whole being, their whole understanding, their whole knowing, they fall in love with themselves. They absolutely fall in love with themselves. They weep. They're all over the place because they finally realize the magnificence of who they are, and they finally connect with this voice that's telling them, you know, oh, you've got it, have you? Okay, you've finally woken up to why you're here on planet Earth. Would you like to have some fun now?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, wow. And then, of course, you know, they leave that beautiful held environment. They go off and, you know, the tsunami hits and all the things that no longer need to be in your life because, you know, it's stuff that's there that is potentially was happening to you, walks and disappears. So there's always a big fallout from it. But it's a great roller coaster because what falls out is literally clearing the way for the most amazing stuff to come in. And it just never ceases to amaze me when you look at people that absolutely say, do you know what? I am worth this. I'm actually going to take a step. I'm going to listen to my voice of my heart that's giving me the truth of why I'm here. And then they stay rooted in that space where knowing and trusting that as everything looks like it might be falling apart afterwards, they hold tight like a ship in the storm. And then what happens is within moments, it's so quick, you know, people come back to me and go, oh, my God, this is extraordinary. Because all sorts of amazing things start to happen. And, of course, the crazy logic of the heart, which is these amazing synergies and synchronicities that show up and signs and, you know, and things that you couldn't imagine, doorways you couldn't imagine could ever have opened, suddenly open. And, you know, and more people are coming to that. And every one person that steps into that is actually empowering everybody else around them to do so as well. It's really beautiful. And actually, you know, someone said to me recently, oh, God, you're so courageous. You have so much courage to be doing this. And I know, Damien, you and I have talked about this because we both have the same view. And, you know, I just said to them, you know, it takes a lot more courage to stay where you are than it does for me, because this isn't about courage. When I look back at how I was before, that took a lot of courage to be in a life where you feel really oppressed and you're dictated to by everybody else. Right now, I feel so free. It's incredible. It's an amazing feeling. I know some of the people that wrote questions in as well tonight. Some of the questions that came in were, you know, people saying, you know, how can I take that step forward? And, you know, I don't know if I have the finances to do it and stuff like that. Well, it's just not about that, because if that were the case, nobody would ever be able to open up and live the life that they've really come here to live. It's about this little step called trust and jumping off the cliff and knowing that when you do it, you've actually made a huge declaration to the universe to say, do you know what? I'm ready, so bring it in.
Absolutely. Now, Louise, before we actually dip into the questions, there was one other question I wanted to ask you, and you sort of touched on it before when you were describing your summer 2006. And it's something that I see lots of people experience when they're going through these heart opening, raising levels of consciousness, and that is actually coming up against the tribe. Now, the tribe could be your family, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your grandparents, your close friends, your work colleagues.
Mm.
When people start or commence this journey, often stepping into that place of actually listening to that voice inside or listening to the heart can actually be at odds to everyone around you in your existing sphere. And I was just wondering, for people who are experiencing that presently in their life or have experienced that, just wondering if you could share your insights into how to actually navigate the terrain of being with people who are moving in a different way and still honouring your own intuition and your own heart.
Yeah, love to. From my own personal experience, and there's vast amounts I could say here, the first thing I'd like to say is that you can only be in service to others if you're first in service to you. Now, if we've all come to planet Earth and we're all characters in each other's story, we've all tentatively agreed that we'll all do certain things along the way for each other. So if your heart, which holds the truth of your story, is telling you to do something, and you don't want to do that because you think you're hurting somebody potentially that's around you, you're actually potentially hurting them more by not doing it, because you're not effectively doing what it is that you said you'd come to do. So I'll give some examples of this. When I first came back from Dublin, I was married with three young children, and I absolutely knew from that moment on I couldn't be. And I came back and I said to my husband at the time, I can't stay in this marriage. Now, initially, so many of my friends walked away from me, almost all of them, actually, apart from one. I then had, my family thought that I was crazy. I had three young children who were trying to figure out what the heck was going on, and the whole world looked like walking away from me. But I absolutely knew in my heart that I had to keep pursuing this truth that was inside of me. And one very close friend of mine just said, look, I love you dearly, but this is crazy, and all the stuff you're talking about and where you're at, I just can't be around you anymore. Mm. And on the one hand, it tore me apart, but on the other hand, I said, that's absolutely fine, I honour it, and it's okay. Now, I relentlessly pursued this truth that was coming through me, and within just a few months, the experience I'd had in Dublin, which was actually when I'd actually met a man in Dublin with whom we knew, we only had 20 minutes together and then we pulled apart with no way of contacting each other again. But in those moments, I believed that he had given me this extraordinary and exquisite love that we shared in these moments where we both knew we'd had lifetimes and lifetimes together and couldn't understand why. But within a few months, I came to realize within me that he was never giving me a love that was then taken away from me, which I had been grieving. He was standing as a mirror to show me who I truly am, and the only person that could feel that love and be that love was actually me, and that I am that extraordinary being, that extraordinary love. And as I started to understand this and it started to flood my being, I realized that if I could not embody that and be that in every moment, then how could I be what I'd really come here to be? And if I actually had the power of that love within me, and that's who I truly am, then surely, when I'm present and I'm absolutely full of that level of love, I must be in the highest service. I must be the most amazing and beautiful being for everybody to be around, because in that space, I'm able to be the most giving, the most loving, the most excited, the most enthused, and the most delighted being that it's possible to be around, to live with the passion of life. And I knew that the reason that I was saying that is because I knew that for me to be around someone like that, it just inspired me to go further into it myself.
Mm.
Anyway, within a short period of time, a number of things happened. First of all, the friend of mine that walked away that said that she couldn't be around me anymore came back and said to me, as she witnessed all the things that unfolded for me on my journey, she said, "I don't know what is going on, Louise," she said, "but all I can say to you is that just show me." She said, "I'm so sorry that I walked away. Just show me anything you can share with me. Show me, because to witness what's happened with you and what's unfolded, I just will do anything to be exposed to that and to have that journey for me." I had a husband who was such a hands-off father to his children. And the children, you know, I practically brought the children up on my own. And at the time he was really angry and upset that I was leaving him. And, you know, the whole world would have thought, oh, you know, this girl, what's she doing? You know, ripped her family apart. And yet, do you know something? From leaving him, he suddenly became a man that was around at weekends. He had the children. He's become the father that they always dreamt of. And if I hadn't left him, it wouldn't have happened. And those children now have a father who's amazing and who's starting to really open to other concepts, where before that, prior to this, he was really fixed. In fact, it's so funny because his opinion is diametrically opposed. And in fact, he's just taken my three boys off to Egypt for a week. And I dropped them round yesterday. And my little one, Mark, he had his pocket full of crystals, and my ex-husband looked at me and he said, "Oh, you've been saying to me, have you given these children, you know, something to do in the pyramids with energy or something?" And he looked, because he's really kind of not into this. And I said, I may have done. And he looked and he laughed. He went, "Oh well," he said, let's try it out then.
You know? Well.
And that is, you know, and you know, Damien, and that is huge. And you know what? If we won't honour ourselves, how can anyone else honour themselves?
Mm.
You know, and just because you perceive in a moment that something that you are doing by honouring you is creating a great upset or a hurt for someone else around them, that could potentially be the greatest gift you could ever have given them. How arrogant are you to believe that you know what it is that someone else needs or wants or chooses for their own journey of life to unfold? It's not about that. They must allow themselves to experience what they've truly chosen to experience. And the only way that they can experience that in an interaction with you is for you to be true to you. And there's a couple of living examples.
Mm. Great, excellent examples. Now, Louise, as I mentioned earlier on, we've had questions come in from all around the world. So I'm just going to kick off with a question from Andrew, who is in South Africa. And Andrew asks, "How can I live from my heart if I fear that by doing so I will end up losing everything?"
I love this question. And I'd love to say to Andrew, okay, what is everything for a start, and what is the notion of lose? And I'll give you an example. If you tomorrow lost your job, you lost your means of living, you lost your entire family through whatever reasons, that something happened, the family was taken from you in an accident, or they upped and left you, and you found yourself homeless with no money, no family, no friends, absolutely alone on planet Earth, no knowing what to do, where to turn. What would you do? What would you do? Would you sit and think about it? And the interesting thing is this, because I know that this has happened to quite a number of people that I've met on my journey around the world, and a really lovely tale is actually one I'd love to share with you at this point, which is of a guy that I met in Australia. This is exactly what happened to him. And he said he was actually just, it was the last day actually that he was basically being booted out of his apartment. And he walked out of the apartment and closed the gate and thought, that's it, I'm done. And he strolled along to, I don't know if it was like a park or like a little local garden or anything, something, some kind of community garden thing, which he'd never been to. And he said he had no idea why he was going there, none at all, none. And he walked in and he sat on this little bench and he put his head in his hands and he said, and he called out, so he didn't know what, because he didn't believe in anything, and he just said, I have no idea why I find myself in this position. Everything's been taken from me. I really don't know what to do next. And if there's anything out there, show me. He said he sat like that, so he didn't know how long, a few hours. And when he kind of opened his eyes, because he said a lot of the time he had his head in his hands, he opened his eyes, there was just someone sat next to him. And the person sat next to him started to talk to him and spoke to him about these books. That were, I'm trying to think of the name of the author now. Oh, it's the guy that wrote, oh, goodness me, it's gone from me for a minute. It's the guy that wrote the books that basically The Secret based a lot of their knowledge around. And it wasn't the one, it's not The Science of Getting Rich, it's not that one, it's another one. And I will remember, and I'll let you know, Damien, so you can post it out to everyone after this call. But the fact is, this guy said, look, there's a guy down on the street corner selling this book, go and get yourself the book. And so this particular guy, he said, well, I haven't got any money. He literally didn't even have any money. He had everything, he lost everything. And this guy put his hand in his pocket. He took the money, hand out of his pocket, and he said, here you go. And he gave him, like, it was next to nothing, because this guy was on the street apparently selling, I don't know, you know, you're from Australia, but apparently there's places where you can just go and buy, like, secondhand books on the street or something, he was saying. And anyway, so he goes along and he buys this book. And he's reading this book, and he was absolutely stunned. And he said he was reading this book, and something inside of him, like, registered something where he realized in this moment that, okay, maybe there was something for him that was about creating. And anyway, there's this whole sequence of events that happened from he just immersed himself for 4 days reading this book. And he said he camped out because he had nowhere to sleep. But luckily it was really warm, so he could just camp out and sit under the trees and stuff. And he said in these four, by the time he'd finished in these 4 days reading this book, he just knew that there was some magic at play here. He said he got up, he walked down to, he knew by then he needed to travel. He didn't know where he needed to go, but he knew he needed to travel. He walked down to a local like a job centre. He didn't know what he was going to do. He said, and there outside was this big advertisement. He walked in, and they were looking for somebody to go out to Cyprus, of all places. And he said it was just a sailing post, and it was just going to be sailing and then getting involved in some base out in Cyprus. Now, the interesting thing, as you know, is that I've just recently been to Cyprus again, and I just met the guy in Cyprus again. And he's been out there for these few years in Cyprus. And while he's been out there, he jumped on his boat and he went to Cyprus. And the things that have unfolded for him out there have been extraordinary. And he's just built the most incredible network of friends, of new experiences. He said that he through this whole process, his heart opened so wide. And he started to understand and recognize things that he wouldn't even have believed before, because he was very cerebral and he wouldn't actually listen to anything to do with energy or, you know, heart-based stuff. He was very kind of focused. And he said this whole experience had been absolutely about breaking him open to understanding that maybe, you know, there was some logic going on here, and it wasn't that something was happening to him, that he was creating it. And he said... but when he finally got that during the course of these last few years, because he's involved in masses of stuff out there now, and he said when he finally got that, he said what actually happened at that point was that something extraordinary clicked, and he, like, everything started to change for him. Mm. And yet, if he hadn't had the experience of losing absolutely everything, he would never have been in that place where that had happened. You know, and so many people I've met have said, you know, I've lost a job, I've lost family, I've lost this, I've lost that, and I've been under the illusion that I've lost. And yet, what has happened when those doors have opened as a result of that is that they've gained something that's so much greater than anything that they thought that they'd lost in the first place, until they came to understand that nothing is ever lost. And in fact, you know, one extension from that is that how can you lose anything outside of yourself? Because if you have yourself and you have the knowing that whatever is you and whatever is this magical journey that's unfolding for you is perfect, then you know that it's not possible ever to lose anything. That whatever you're actually, whatever is appearing to disappear is only going so that something more extraordinary can come in.
Cool. That's a very great answer and a great question from Andrew in South Africa. Now, this one comes from Clem, who I believe is in Melbourne, Australia, my hometown. So hello to everyone out in Melbourne. And this Clem's question is, I was brought up in a science, maths, chemistry, the hard physical stuff. Over the last 8 years, I've begun to think of the universe in energy terms, waves, vibes, all that sort of stuff. So intellectually, I am comfortable. However, how do I really believe that clairvoyance, synchronicity, etc., all work? I sort of know it, but I don't, if you understand what I'm trying to say. My intellect is getting in the way of my knowing, or is my heart not in the loop? Have I shoved it too far away?
Yeah, I'm just feeling that. Yeah, it goes back to what we were saying before, and absolutely. I mean, when I run my workshops, I take people through a little procedure, and it's just called simple. We share it together, and it really is simple. And this is the essence of the heart. It's so pure and so simple. And the thing is that if you go into the space of the head, it's not simple and pure. It's complex. It's constructs. It's cerebral. It's trying to make a rationale of everything. It's trying to give everything a beginning and an end. And, you know, your head can tie you in these crazy loops. You can go round and round and round. We all know what that's like. You analyze things to death. Mm-hmm. You know, and where do you end up? You end up exhausted, fatigued, and certainly not inspired. Mm. And if you look at all the top business people, for example, on the planet, take someone like Richard Branson, for example. You ask him, what business decision did you ever make by sitting down and thinking about it and coming up with the logic as to why you would do something? And he'll tell you none. Mm. None. Not one. So how did you create, for example, Virgin Media? Or, you know, why did you suddenly decide to go into Virgin Airplanes? Because he had a crazy notion to do it, and he just did it.
Mm.
He didn't think about it. And actually, if you watch what happens, all the greatest business entrepreneurs, and I'm using business here as an example, all the greatest business entrepreneurs on this planet have not created a business based out of thinking about what they're going to do and trying then to create a logic around doing it. They've just had a notion and they've gone for it. They've had a notion and bam, it's happened. And I know from my own perspective, from writing the book, the first book that I wrote, that whole bones of that story just dropped into my consciousness one night. And I began to write it from the following day. And, you know, I had no idea what this stuff even meant. And to this day, that story keeps unfolding around me, and it's becoming more and more extraordinary in every moment. And things are coming more and more magnetized to me on such a scale now that the story, even the end of the story, which was like a vision of what might happen, is happening. It's happening on a massive scale, you know. And that wasn't, I never sat down and thought, oh, I fancy writing a book and how am I going to do it? And let's think about a story, which is the classic traditional way that we're all conditioned to think about things. you know, and it's fantastic that Clem's brought that up, because look at a writing school, for example, it will say, okay, think of a story, think of characters, think how you're going to construct how the characters all connect, think of how you can write a message that sits within a story. Well, I would say to you, every one of us has got a message inside of us, and that message is critical. It's an energy, it's a life force, and it's waiting to be. That message wants to be written, and it wants to be. So don't try and create a story and make it fit. Let that message be. Let that message be, and the message will create a story that will touch and transform the lives of the billions of people on this planet. It's an energy force. It's a life force, like us. But if you're in your head and you're trying to make something fit, you're trying to create logic, you are in that less than 7% that we talked about at the beginning of this call. Okay? If you go into the heart space, all possibilities exist. So not only are you in the space where you are aligned with the 93% of the stimuli that's creating your reality, but the fact is that is not a flat, static structure. 93% is representative of the fact that, you know, when all possibilities exist, those possibilities that exist in that one fraction of a moment continue to expand and continue to expand and continue to expand. I mean, if you take the universe, for example, okay, and scientists like quantum physicists or people that are studying the morphic field, and I know this gets a bit sciencey for some people, but the simple point is that these people have come to prove and to understand that what we are in terms of particles of the universe, energy particles, is mirrored back the whole time. So we can have a thought or we can have a feeling and we can create that, and something in the universe will mirror it back. Now, if you're in your head and you're trying to create that, you are already restricted and limited by what it is that you're creating. Your heart can create something that is so fantastic that in your head you can't even conceive what that is. Now, imagine the power that you're allowing your heart to create that, and the universe then can mirror that back to you in something absolutely extraordinary. And if you are prepared to not just listen to your heart, because this is a magical, this really is alchemy, this is magic, okay? If the universe can actually mirror something back because you're actually being it, so it's not even about you saying, I would like this, I want this, I desire this, you have to be it. Because in science terms, whatever you are literally creates an opposing and opposite force that comes back to you. It's like magnets. So if you take that step, and to everybody also that asked earlier, you know, things like, I don't have the money, I don't know how I'm going to do this, I don't know if people are going to respond to me, I don't know what's going to happen, don't even think about that. Find that voice, find that moment of inspiration, take the step and follow it, and watch what happens. Einstein is a classic example. Einstein never thought about all of the things that he came up with, like the theory of relativity. He didn't think about that. He had a notion before he went to bed. He put the idea out there, woke up in the morning, and bam, the notion was presented to him. It's like the book, the story of the book coming in. I could have had that story of the book coming in, and what could I have done? I could have sat on it and done nothing, but what did I do? For some crazy reason, I put pen to paper and I started writing it. And from the moment I started to write it, this thing became real. Why did it become real? Because I'd committed it into form. I'd take a step. And every day that passed, I put more and more and more of me into trust in what was unfolding. So I would mortgage my house to the full, single mum with three kids, doing things that were crazy. People going, what are you doing? You know, I came to publish my book, and instead of going with publishers, for example, that are saying to me, you know, oh, we'll take your book on, complete low risk to me because I don't have to pay out a thing, I knew that they were going to actually potentially destroy the message that was in the book, and I knew the criticality of not doing it. So I took out vast amounts of money against my house, as we know. I did things that people around me were going, you are mad. You know, I did like full-page spreads in adverts of like New York Times and magazines or papers like that around the world. I actually took a massive step forward. I spent money that I didn't have to do it, but it was okay because I really understood the energy of money. And I just did it. Why? Because my voice and my heart was telling me to do it, and I just sensed that this was the thing to do. And you know what? What came back as a result of that is unbelievable. I mean, you know, the things that are happening right now, as we know, are extraordinary, but they could never have happened if I didn't do that. Because in energetic terms, in real, factual, energetic, scientific terms, you must take a step, you must be something so it can be mirrored back to you. And this is why we go back to the premise of what is in the depths of the heart. And in the depths of the heart is this great sense of knowing, of absolute knowing, of the amazing energy and the power and the magnificence of who you really are, and this magical, transformational force that you are to create anything. And it's only when you can really root yourself in that that you can actually be that. And when you be that, you'll never have to think about money again. Never. Never. Because the things will show up in the most extraordinary fashion. Like, for example, this little book that we were talking about. You know, it just is. So in answer to Clem, you know, if you can really, really surrender and follow that voice of your heart, that intuition, and be very present, act on it immediately, because linear time is a construct that exists for us in our perception, but actually when you look at the facts, it doesn't actually exist at all. So and we have the ability to step out of linear time by acting immediately upon what the voice of our heart is telling us. Because when we really do that and we follow our heart implicitly, time collapses, literally. So what you know inside of you becomes real instantaneously. And, you know, again, you know, we could talk for hours about this and all the evidence that shows that that's the case. And in my own experience, and I know in yours, Damien, it's happened over and over again. And,
absolutely.
You know, if you can do that, surrender, follow the intuition, act immediately, know that everything and everyone that shows up is absolutely perfect for you on this journey, so that you can have another step into a deeper space to grow, so that you can be deeper connected with your heart, love everyone and everything that shows up to take you there, and follow your clues, because you're being bombarded by clues the whole time. If you can actually stick wholeheartedly to that cycle and trust that cycle, then goodness me, you know, you stop thinking about any notion of needing to be in the head, because this whole thing becomes this great, almost like a steamroller. It just grows and grows. You have no choice. You just keep going. And it's just incredible what happens.
Cool. Louise, I wanted to ask one more quick question before we find out more about how people can get in touch with you. But this question actually has come in from Phil, who is in Sweden. And Phil asks, Dear Louise, how do I absolutely always, without hesitation, follow my heart's intuition when I feel, as a brand new father, that I have my wife and daughter to answer for as well? I think I know the answer, but I would love to hear you talk about this. So much love, Phil.
Oh, that's a beautiful question. Because I think when we're presented with new life like that and a little baby who's so dependent upon us, it's actually, you know, it brings this whole matter of, you know, if I'm serving me, am I serving others, to a whole new dimension, a whole new state of being. And in fact, if you think for a moment that child has arrived trusting and with all its heart and soul depending upon you to absolutely honor yourself. Because don't forget, children that are showing up now, they're not showing up for the reality that has been. They're showing up for a new reality, which they are creating. And this new reality is the realms of being totally in the heart, and being totally in the heart and a place of such empowerment within ourselves. Because actually, if we're really in love with ourselves, then conflict ceases to exist, because we can actually recognize around us that, like we were saying just now, that everything and everyone that shows up is here for us just to learn and understand and grow closer and closer to the amazing beauty of who we really are. So actually, when you have a newborn child and a wife, you know, in that environment, the best thing you can ever do is to honor you, because by doing that, you are bringing to them this great strength and magical, like a solidity like a rock of the most beautiful person that can ever be presented to you is someone that stands so still and so radiant and so illuminated with this amazing knowing of the power that exists within them and the great love that exists within them to transform anyone and anything around them. And I know, I absolutely know that everybody listening to this call has experienced being around somebody like that. And when they've been experienced, when you've experienced being around someone like that, the one thing and the only thing that you need to know is the only reason you can recognize that is because that person is showing you you. That's who you really are. But if you have a newborn baby, Phil, which I've seen, she's beautiful, your little Siri. I've seen the pictures of her. You know, the greatest gift you can give to her right now is being that extraordinarily empowered, amazing being that you are, that stands fully in your own truth and in your own heart and says, I know my reason for being on planet Earth, and I honor you by honoring me, because I know that when I'm doing that, I'm giving you permission to honor you first too. And there's nothing greater that you could give to a child than that.
Beautiful. I absolutely agree. Cool, Louise. Well, once again, our hour has slipped away so quickly. And it's almost like we could explore this topic for hours and hours. Unfortunately, we've come to a close. But for people on the call that would love to find out more about your work, I know you've got some very exciting workshops coming up, and also we'd love to hear more about your books and also Perfect Love, as I've mentioned in the introduction. So just wondering if you could just share with us how people can find out more about your work and take advantage of some of your programs and products.
Sure. Well, my website is www.louiselangley.com. I run many workshops. The next beautiful one that I have coming up is in Cyprus, and it's in just a few weeks' time. And Cyprus is the island renowned for love. It's where Aphrodite or Venus stepped foot on the shore, so it's going to be beautiful. We're going to be doing an Uncover Your Sacred Life Path magical 3-day retreat, where we basically take people deep into a place of surrender and commitment to being here, to really big commitment to yourself and to uncovering what that sacred life path purpose is for you, making a huge commitment. So we're going to be building labyrinths on the beach, actually, in this extraordinary place on the beach in Cyprus. And the whole purpose is we make a big commitment to saying, okay, I leave everything that I ever have been behind. I'm now going to be who I truly am, and I totally honor my reason for being here, and I bring it on in. And it's such a powerful, powerful thing to do. And then we spend time learning. Then we spend the last day of the thing is opening to receive. So it's all very well saying, yeah, okay, I'm really ready to be here. I'm ready to really embrace everything that I am, to have my path and my magic unfold. But then we need to be able to receive it, because when it gets delivered, if somewhere inside of us we're going, oh, I'm not worthy of that, then you're not gonna actually be able to receive it. So that's no good in it turning up. So that's what that's all about. And that's on my website under the events page. You can hear all about that. And that's on the 23rd to the 25th of April. And there'll be a one-day event straight after that actually there, which is about Write From Your Heart. And it's which is a writing course. But, it's a fabulous location. I know a lot of people that are coming over are coming for a week's holiday and combining it with going to some amazing places in Cyprus too. So it's a really cool time of the year to go, because it's kind of springtime, end of April, and it's about 28 degrees. So it's beautiful. So that's one thing. On my website, there's my other books are on there, The Sacred Quest, The Aquila Chronicles. I write regularly for various magazines, but one regular magazine that I write for is High Spirit magazine, and there's all my Boo Wake Up series on there with lots of videos that I do, people that I interview that have been amazing on my journey, including Damien coming up very soon. There's also lots and lots of freebies on my site, and one little book that I know you mentioned, Damien, which happened when you and I were together, because I write regularly for High Spirit magazine. They asked me, they've just gone into Tesco's in the UK, which is the largest supermarket retailer in the UK, and they said, would I write a little book to cover mount on their magazine as an exclusive for Tesco's, which literally went into all the Tesco stores throughout the UK yesterday. So thousands of these books are everywhere, and they're called, the book is called The 7 Steps to Perfect Love. And it's a little book which is basically going deep into a space of love for the self. And if anyone listening wants to hop onto my website, on the front page, you can click on my homepage and access this book for free. And in fact, it comes out over a little, we've created, haven't we, Damien, a little mini-series over 7 days. And it's a really beautiful little book. In fact, it's amazing because I've written all these huge books, and in fact, I'm so in love with this little one because it's so simple and it's so lovely. And it's a play on the word perfect. I don't know, do I have time to talk about this, Damien?
Yeah, sure.
Just a second. Yep. It's a play on the word perfect, but it's simply a little journey to take you deep into a space of trust so that you can actually reach this perfect love, which is, of course, you. And trust being the doorway to all the endless possibilities that exist in perfect love. So anyone listening who wants to jump on, you can jump on and you can have that book for free. You just jump on there and download it all, and you can. There's a little opportunity to listen to it being narrated by me, and please, please pass it on to many, many people that you can around the world, because the idea is that everybody can then be inspired to know that it's really a simple and amazing process to actually access the most exquisite love and feeling of love that you can have on the planet, and that's the love that already resides within yourself. So that would be really cool. And there's many other things I'm working on that are going to be up there, lots of exciting projects and things like that. But that's just a few of the little bits anyway.
Mm. Yeah, I have to say that watching the 7 Steps to Perfect Love come into being was certainly a very, very magical process to witness. And the fact that the book is actually going into Tesco's all around the UK really is just a great example of this love frequency, or this thought frequency, actually emerging in the greater sphere of our existence. So it's very, very exciting that you've managed to do that, Louise, and it wouldn't have happened without you being totally present and just being responsive to following your own heart. So,
well, I'd love to share.
Absolutely, and acknowledge you for that.
Well, I'd love to acknowledge you for it too, Damien, because I'd love for everybody on this call to understand that it happened when Damien arrived on my doorstep, having to come back to the UK to sort out some things so he could get back to the States. And the whole thing arrived, and within 2 weeks, we got the phone call, didn't we, the day that you arrived,
yes,
basically from High Spirit saying, could I do this? And within 2 weeks, we together, because you were my inspiration with this. I'd love everyone to know this. But within 2 weeks, the book was written, we designed it, and it was actually laid to page, printed, and back. With the guys ready to go out to Tesco's within just 2 weeks. And that is the way from operating from the heart. And both you and I were totally in the heart for this little project, weren't we, when it came through. And, you know, when you really are present and in the moment, and I know, you know, publishers will tell you it takes you 18 months to get a book to market. Mm. Now, I've got other books to market that I've written within 6 weeks. Has been my record. Well, 2 weeks for this was extraordinary. Mm. And the book that has been written is so simple and beautiful, and it's probably the most effective book that I've ever written. Mm. And it was done within 2 weeks. And why was it done? Because it arrived, and being so present and so open and able to respond in that moment to what was happening in our hearts was the only reason it was born.
Mm.
Damien, do I have just a second to share just a little tiny poem that's in the back of it?
That'd be awesome.
Because I think that really sums it up. And it's simply this. When in this present moment, the evidence you seek of perfect love, so real, so true, you feel its hold so deep. Hold out your arms, embrace it well, through challenges so great, as trust does see the open door and perfect love elate. And I would love to share with everybody that I was sat with Damien And in just like 2 minutes, that poem just flowed through me. And it's not about me being a master poet. Everybody has this capability. Everybody has these amazing messages and poetry and extraordinary creation and expression inside of them that is here to transform the planet. And if you do not open up to that, if you do not do this, then you are not serving anyone around you. And there's something else I'd love to just share super quickly. I'm a huge fan of The Lord of the Rings. I love those. I love those movies. And when I was coming back from Cyprus recently, I was on the plane coming back, and I was kind of feeling into a lot of stuff that I was ready to do, like a next stage of a project. You know, and on one stage, it was feeling kind of a bit daunting because it's going to a huge next stage. And I had these whole visions of, for any of you listening that know The Lord of the Rings, in the first movie, there's Galadriel, the elven queen, and there's little Frodo, who's got this ring on his finger, this ring of power. And at some point, he's with Galadriel in the forest of Lothlorien, and he looks in this pool of water, and she shows him the vision of the future, you know, and his shire, and everyone's being killed, and this and that and the other. And he's so shaken, and he takes the ring off, and he gives it to Galadriel, and he's saying, take it, take it. And she resists, and there's this whole scene which is quite spectacular where she resists. And then she looked at him afterwards, and she says, and he says, I feel so alone. And she says to him, Frodo, to bear a ring of power is to be alone. But if you do not do this, if you do not do this, no one else will. This is your task, and you must see this done. And over on this plane journey, just 2 weeks ago, this was absolutely filling my being, and I knew, I know what ring of power I bear. And I know that if I do not see this done, then it cannot be done. And if I do not see this done, it cannot be done, and I'm not serving all of the most amazing and magical beings on this planet, every person on this planet I have come here to serve. And every one of us holds this ring of power. And if we do not see it done, nobody else will.
What a beautiful and magical way to bring the call to an end. Thank you so much, Louise, for sharing all your wisdom and experience in the past hour. And also just really wanted to acknowledge you for the incredible journey that you have been on. I guess the experience of waking up to your heart or the power of your heart in the summer of 2006 and just following all the clues that have been laid out for you to do the amazing work that you do in the world. It's incredibly inspiring for me to witness, and thank you so much for sharing all that you have inside of you.
Well, thank you, Damien, and I would like to share with everybody that I'm so in love with Damien. He's such an extraordinary mirror of me, and you know, it's been such an honour and a blessing to be a clue in your journey as you have been in mine, and to be able to share this journey together is just extraordinary, and it just gets more and more beautiful in every moment. So thank you.
My pleasure. And just wanted to say thank you to everyone at home. Like, you are on this magical journey that we explore week to week, and I guess the thoughts that I want to leave you with this evening is, if there is something in your heart, if there is a project that you'd love to get started, if there is anything that you'd love to express into the world, do take these moments and take the steps necessary to bring it into action. It may be scary, it may be terrifying. There'll be lots of hurdles and obstacles to confront on that journey as well. But just by listening to your own truth and following it, the most extraordinary things will unfold for you. And Louise is certainly a living example of that. Cool. Okay, so that brings us to the end of our call. So once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. This call will be made available on the People You Should Meet website tomorrow morning, so do come back and listen to it again. I certainly will be. And also, the recordings are all there. The entire archive of the last 2.5 years is up on the website there for free. It's there to serve. So if you do feel moved to to share this inspiring work with other people, certainly do take that step forward and be as liberal as you possibly can, and share it with all your friends, families, loved ones and work colleagues. Cool. Okay, thanks again, Louise, and thank you everyone at home.
Thank you.
Chat soon.
Bye. Bye.